Dallas from LFO, and we're going to open a public hearing on House Bill 5059, the Public Employees Retirement System, and House Bill 5066, the Department of Revenue, for the purpose of reviewing agency prioritization. And I would invite up to the table Mr. Cleary and anybody you'd like to bring with. And the way that this has gone so far, just for your edification, is that the committee has been provided the prioritization. They have done their homework. We have been operating by consensus. We go through and discuss how we have ranked your recommended priorities, high, medium, and low. And you and your staff would be there to offer technical assistance or provide additional information if the committee needs it.
Sounds good, ma'am.
Do you have any words of guidance for us before we begin?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we will soldier on exactly the way that we did it yesterday, and you have offered us five programs, starting with retirement, death, and disability program, and I think what we will do is to just jump right in, and Representative Avakian, hi. All right. Senator Morris?
Well, I think this should be eliminated.
All right, we have one high, one eliminated, and I'll have to go with high.
I've got the high.
All right. Just further, Mr. Clay, so you understand how this is working, the professional staff are acting as scriveners, and then this information will be passed on to the co-chairs and will be part of the material that they use in the development of their co-chairs budget, which we're anticipating now on April the 4th. Good morning, Senator Morset. We have just done item number one.
Oh. Okay.
And while you're getting caught up, we're on the PERS prioritization. I mean, given that we're operating in an acronym-free zone, the Public Employees Retirement System, we're moving to number two. We'll come back and get your thoughts on number one. But on number two, Mr. Avakian, hi. Senator Morris.
Hi.
And I'm a hi. And Senator Morset, just to catch you up on the first one, we were in consensus that it was a high. We're now on item two, the PERS Retiree Health Insurance Program.
I'm a high. I'm good. Having a hard time not being.
Okay. Move to number three, the Deferred Compensation Program.
No, I mean, it's, you know, when you look at it, I'm sorry.
We're on number three. Representative Avakian is a high. Senator Morris is a high.
Yes.
Senator Morris sets a high, and I join them. Number four, Social Security Coverage Program.
Aye.
Yes.
Three highs, I make it four. And number five, the Debt Service Program.
And high.
Yes.
We are unanimous in our belief that that too is a high. And that concludes the review of your prioritization.
And it's only
we're doing brilliantly. I don't know, Mr. Cleary, if you have any additional comments that would edify the panel. You've heard our discussion and our agreement that these are all high priorities and absolutely necessary for your agency to function appropriately to serve its members. Do you have any comments?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Paul Cleary, Executive Director at PERS, appreciate your recognition of the importance of these programs and certainly want to make sure that everyone is aware we are an other fund-funded agency. A dollar saved at our agency is a dollar earned, and we take that to heart. You'll see us run this budget extremely tightly. We've done it this biennium and actually have been able to absorb some significant expenses that were unbudgeted by saving money elsewhere, and that's the kind of philosophy that we take forward into this as well.
Well, I would beg correction from my colleagues if I misstate what I believe I saw when you came and made your presentation. I think it is the consensus of the panel that you're managing the agency very well. We have significant reserves. We're working with a board that is taking its responsibilities very seriously. And you and your staff certainly left the impression, at least with the chair, of a well-managed, lean, responsible agency, and I think we appreciate that very much. I would look for correction if I've misstated the views of any of my colleagues.
Thank you, ma'am. We'll work to maintain that trust.
Word to your mean.
Senator Morsette.
Lean and mean.
Lean and mean. That's right. We understand that.
If there are no more questions of the panel, we will give you the prize, Mr. Clary, for having your prioritization done in under 10 minutes. We'll thank you for coming and let you get back to work.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right. We will now move to the Department of Revenue. Dallas, do you have any guidance or wisdom to impart on us before we begin?
I will, Madam Chair. I don't know if it's guidance or wisdom, but we did, as directed by the members of the committee, we did look at what we checked with the Department of Housing and Community Services about using that elderly rental assistance money there because of the discussion around the programmatic. This seemed to be a poor place to have that programmatically. If you'd like, I can discuss it when we get down to that, or I can just give you a summary of what we arrived at from that right now.
Let's discuss it when we get down to
sure.
that. While Mr. Clary is still here, even though the co-chairs will probably be mad at me for doing this, out of respect for my colleague, Representative Smith, we have just concluded the public employees' retirement system.
Yep.
Out of the five programmatic areas that they asked us to rank, we were unanimous in our recommendation that they were all of high priority.
I'm exactly with you.
Good. All right.
I apologize. We're late. We had caucus, and it's kind of dragging on us.
No problem at all. I just want to make sure that everybody on the committee gets an opportunity to weigh in equally and recognize that there are severe demands on people's time. Okay. We're back on the Department of Revenue. Dallas was speaking about the
elderly rental
assistance, and I had suggested that we discuss it when we get there, but perhaps it would be better, Dallas, for you to share with us your thoughts before we begin.
Okay. I've checked with the Department of Housing and Community Services. Less with the Department of Human Services was silent on the issue with the elderly rental assistance, but as you know, the elderly rental assistance, this looks like a very weird place to have such a thing, although part of it is where they pay the counties for the taxes that are forgiven or waived for elderly retirement residences for not-for-profits. They apply if they're not, they have to prove they're not-for-profit, that they provide low-income housing to the elderly, and that they pass on the savings from the tax forgiveness, if you will, or abatement to the renters. And in that case, then there's a process where they go through the county, and then the county submits to the department, and then the department reimburses the counties. That's a part of the program, and that was about $1.82 million, something like that. A little between $1 and $2 million of the $7.9 million that was spent this last biennium. The other part of the program is the elderly rental assistance, where they have to have incomes of less than $10,000, pay 20% or more of their income in rent, and some other things, and they apply, and they get a check then for a percent, I believe, of the rent that they have paid for the year. Again, that money is paid out in November also. To our knowledge, nobody was denied that. Excuse me. So, anyway, looking at the Department of Housing and Community Services, we reviewed this with them, and their programs, they can get some matching funds, but their programs aren't the same, where there's a direct payment to people of these criteria. They help provide housing to the elderly. They'll subsidize it. They do have some direct rental assistance programs, but those are more on a temporary nature to low-income people. It's not directly towards the elderly.
Let me just make sure, Dallas, that I'm following you clearly. We raced through PERS so expeditiously, and I was so overcome and giddy with the fact that we're this far ahead. I'm not sure that I'm able to follow you. Was the underlying question whether or not the elderly rental assistance program should be moved out of revenue and into housing and community development?
The direction I received was they liked the idea of the program. It wasn't should it go away, but that it wasn't proper for this department.
Right.
So we were looking for a home for it.
There are two reasons.
Okay. Senator Morse.
One was, is it the appropriate place for it? The second was, could we take these funds and match them to federal funds, having the same program available, not reducing the program, but then freeing up general. That was the second part of the question.
I stand corrected. Again, we haven't received much information back from the Department of Human Services, but the Department of Housing and Community Services did provide us some very good information. And the long and the short of it was from them was they don't have anything that they could use this to match to provide the same program to reimburse or subsidize or return to the elderly renters a cash rebate, if you will. And they felt that their comment was this was a very efficient operation, and they couldn't do it any more cheaply. So
absent federal funds, absent any efficiencies, they're at least suggesting, absent additional information, that it stay here.
Yeah, that they couldn't do better with the money.
I don't know whether or not, Senator Morse, you want to consider that answer dispositive, given that we're still waiting additional information. As chair, I would be happy to flag it, and we continue to review it as we move through into the next phase.
Madam Chair, I would like to have a definitive answer from the Department of Human Services.
Then, with the consensus of the committee, I'll ask the professional staff to just keep on it, and we'll wait until we get all the information to make a completely informed decision. Senator or Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair Johnson. I would remind the senators today they will be in front of your other Ways and Means Committee, and it'd be a very opportune time to further this discussion. I think you and I are on the same.
Okay, I'm going to break the co-chair prime directive one more time as I invite Ms. Hershenko and her staff to come up to the table. Representative Krupp, I know that you were detained in another meeting. We have gone through the public employees retirement system. They had five priorities, and it was the unanimous consensus of the committee that all were rated high, and absent any significant deviation on your part, Dallas would record that we ranked them all high.
Madam Chair, thank you. I ranked the last two, four, and five at medium.
Okay.
Just slightly lower. I didn't think they rose quite to the level of the core mission of the agency.
Thank you.
And that was really the only difference.
I just wanted to make sure that your comments became
thank
part
you.
Of the record.
And I do appreciate that, and you're right. I was in another meeting. Thank you. And my apologies to the chair for not letting you know I was going to be
perfectly
late.
Fine.
I just came up, so.
Good morning, Ms. Hershenko.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
I don't know. I saw you all scurry in. I think you may have been surprised how quickly we moved through the PERS. I don't know whether or not you heard the explanation of how the committee is proceeding. I will quickly summarize it. You have provided us with your priorities. They were provided to the entire committee. The committee was asked to rank the programmatic offerings on your list as high, medium, and low. We are operating by consensus. The professional staff are scriveners and will carry this ranking information forward to the co-chairs for the development of their co-chair's budget. And so we have just gone down line item by line item, compared notes. You and your staff will be available to provide any technical assistance or respond to questions. And with that, we'll just begin to move through them. And Representative Avakian, if you don't mind being number one out of the chute again, I'll ask for your rating on personal income tax.
Not at all. And if it's helpful to you as we progress here, I've rated every category high again. Just by chance, if that's what the rest of the committee did, then maybe you can dispatch more quickly. But high.
Thank you very much. Let's test our colleagues. Representative Krupp.
Madam Chair, I rated high down to the point of assessor's funding.
Okay, let's just stop there, flag that right now. Representative Smith, you're high down to assessor's funding.
Yep.
Senator Morris?
Sorry.
likewise high down to assessor's funding. And Senator Morissette?
High, period.
High, period. All right.
Well, we don't stop at assessor's funding.
Don't take those medications.
No.
All right.
No, it's a natural high.
Okay, and I too am
moved over to the Senate. This kind of thing is the goal.
Okay.
It's the rarefied air. I too am high down to the assessor's funding. So given that we know that Representative Avakian is high all through this, Representative Krupp, I would ask for your comments on assessor's funding.
Madam Chair. I decided that was an appropriate break point. I feel all of the programs above that are really the focus of the agency's efforts. For a host of reasons, and starting with personal income tax and working right down through the inheritance tax. When you get to assessor's funding and moving further down the scale, they are typically other funded, number one, was part of the criteria that I used. And they're also collections of monies that get passed on to other agencies. By and large, and I know there's some variation there, especially you go on over to the second page, right on down until you get, frankly, down to the elderly rental assistance. And I frankly put those a little bit lower on the priority list because even though there's an ORS that governs that, it isn't the, in my mind, it is not the core focus, nor should it be, of the agency. It's not that it isn't important. It's not that the agency shouldn't be doing it. But if I were ranking the core mission and core function of the agency, I would rank that lower. So I'm basically a medium from assessor's funding down to you get to the elderly assistance.
Okay.
And I rank those lower.
Senator Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair Johnson. I guess I need a little bit of background really quick on what is assessor's funding. I struggled with that.
If you'd identify yourself for the record, please.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Elizabeth Harshenko, Director of your Department of Revenue. Madam Chair, Representative Smith. Assessor's funding is a program that the legislature put in place in the late 80s to address lack of funding at the local level for the assessment and taxation function, administration of the property tax.
So the state sends the counties a subsidy check.
Well, the legislature designated a source of funds from interest on delinquent property tax payments and from a recording fee on documents recorded at the local level. Those dollars are remitted to the department quarterly. And we have a grant program whereby we work with the county assessor's office and the commissioners to identify any, to look at their assessment and taxation function, how much resource they're putting into administration, what do they need because of the number of accounts they've got, the complexity of the accounts they have, the services that they need to provide at the level. And the commissioners then make a commitment early in their budget process the extent to which they're going to fund the assessment and taxation function.
What happens if they ask for more service than they have the ability to fund?
Well, they do their internal budgeting just as in any county. If they satisfy the standards that we have set for a basic support of assessment and taxation function, then they're eligible for the grant payment. And what you see on our list that we've called assessor's funding CAFA is the grants that let's see, $6 million, that's not right. That's our expenses. Okay. So the total dollars is in the $50 to $55 million range out of that pot of money, which is the interest on delinquent property taxes and the recording fees.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, I just want to flush through this.
Please.
Recording fees, those are on
documents that are recorded at the local
deeds
level.
Deeds of trust.
Property transactions. It's a wide variety of different documents that are recorded at the local level. We then are authorized by statute to use up to 10% of the dollars that come in from those sources to fund valuation services that we provide for industrial property that's worth $1 million or more, and utility property.
So really quick, just so I understand this, the fees then that are collected at the county level are forwarded on to the state?
Yes.
And then you folks take that pool and divvy it back out in the form of a grant minus the county's portion of their help?
Minus the 10% that we use to fund our appraisal staff to do those complex properties, the industrial properties that are worth $1 million or more, and the utility property.
One last question, then I'll
follow up.
Why don't they just keep all the money and send you 10%?
Well, the way the legislature set it up, the desire was to make sure that it challenged the commissioners to adequately fund their assessment and taxation program. Some counties are able to do that better than others. And you may have seen in the newspaper there's been quite a bit of concern in Lane County. They've had an erosion in the funding of their assessment and taxation function for a number of years, and we went down and did a special report for the commissioners and basically said, your grant is at risk unless you adequately fund your property tax system. And so they're now on a plan to get back into an adequate level of funding and staffing for their assessment of taxation. The aspect of the program, as far as the payments to the counties, that has value is it's a challenge grant. And so it's a carrot rather than a stick. Instead of us just beating them over the head with standards, it's an opportunity for the commissioners to learn more about their property tax system where they provide services to all the districts in the area, and then to get that challenge grant. So that's been in place since the late 80s, and I think it's really working fairly well to keep the funding level and the resources that the counties apply to assessment and taxation at a reasonable basis. So this $6 million figure under other funds on our priorities list is the portion of those dollars that are coming in from those two sources that we keep then to fund the appraisals that we then report back out to the counties.
I'll give a high on this, but I would like to meet with you folks, and I want to call my county folks. And so I guess, Madam Chair, I just kind of give a heads up that I'll come talk to you if I find anything that troubles me for round two.
Great, and I'll ask Dallas to flag that. Senator Morissette.
Thank you. I did give a high on this because I thought it was an important function, but I also had questions about Lane County, which I think you've answered. And it kind of boggled my mind that they got so far behind on their collections. But I can talk later about that.
Happy to talk to you about that.
Okay, so we know where Representative Avakian is on this. Representative Krupp, you're a medium.
Yeah, Madam Chair, just a quick question for staff. How many FTE are associated with this program? I don't see FTEs listed here.
I don't have the answer in front of me.
Madam Chair, Representative Krupp,
33. Okay, thank you.
Okay, we know where Representative Smith is. I'm a high, Senator. High.
Yes, a high.
And a high. All right, we're now at county pass-through. We know where Representative Avakian is. We know where Representative Krupp is.
I'm a high through the rest of these. But I'd like to just meet with you between now and round two to just go through assessor funding, county pass-through, those two.
Okay, let's flag both of those.
I just want to know more about it.
Didn't pick up on the conversation. I'm sure the county pass-through is connected to the assessor's funding.
Madam Chair, Senator Morse, the county pass-through is a general fund appropriation that the legislature uses to supplement the grant program, and those funds are distributed right alongside those grant dollars that are coming from the delinquent interest and the recording fees.
Okay. Senator? You just changed. You're high, all right? And Senator Morissette's a high, but this is now flagged. So we're now at court fines and assessments. I think we know where Representative Avakian is, a high. Representative Krupp, a medium.
I guess high.
Senators?
I'm a high, but some of these really small revenue accounts, the cost, I mean, what's the overhead of managing to collect $86,000 on a biennial? That's $43,000 a year.
Madam Chair, Senator Morris, those are our expenses.
Oh, your expenses.
That's not
okay,
the event.
Okay. This is your overhead to manage that account.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the amount we collect is in our budget document, Madam Chair.
If I may, Madam Chair.
Yes, please.
These should be in their budget, the amounts that flow through, and we'll be addressing that in phase two of the aggregate. One thing I'd like to make a point of this time is sometimes you'll see things where we have non-limited budget items, and this is just general information where the monies are deemed to be non-limited for. I think in the past it was so to avoid emergency board appearances for agencies that needed additional other fund expenditure limitation as the needs arose. They would have the revenue, but they didn't have the expenditure authority. There's more of a push now from your staff to put those subject to limitation, that the use of non-limited is sort of grown, and we will be recommending in the future that non-limited be really, from this staff standpoint, limited to those that are basically kind of trust fund type of expenditures. That's an aside. But
just a quick question, Madam Chair.
Representative
on the county pass through and the court fines and assessment, I don't see any citation listed.
I can give you I know about the county pass-through. That's been just in their budget. This started, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ms. Arshenko, 1999 was the first general fund appropriation for that. And it was Darren.
I believe that's correct.
Yeah, and it wasn't in ORS. It was just a part of the budget process and has been carried on in the budget process. So the only reference would be session law, year to year.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
The county fines, I don't know.
I think we are now at other agency accounts. And we know where our two colleagues on the end are. Representative Smith?
Yeah, I'm a high for the rest of us.
Okay.
On that one.
Okay, Senator Morris is a high. Senator Morissette's a high. Okay, the ORMAP, the Oregon Land Information System. Representative Smith is a high.
I'm a high through the rest of that.
Okay,
page.
All right.
Medium.
A medium. Senator Morissette.
I'm an extra high on that.
An extra high on that.
Okay,
okay. Well, we now know where our three House colleagues are through the rest of these. I wanted to just remind myself that the work that you do for TriMet and Lane Transit is fee-for-service, is it not?
Madam Chair, that's correct.
May I ask a question?
Please, Senator Morissette.
What about the Salem Bus District? You obviously are not working for them. I'm sorry.
Madam Chair, Senator Morissette, we collect taxes that are imposed on employers, payroll-based taxes, and self-employment taxes, if the local district chooses to impose them. My understanding is that the local transit district doesn't impose either of those taxes.
They have five tax options, and they're using two of them. So, good. Thank you.
Okay. Then I guess we are ready to turn the page. Representative Smith.
On the fee for service for TriMet and Lane Transit District, I assume those the fee covers the cost of administering the program.
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we are now at the state lodging tax at the top of the page. And just to renew, as we've turned the page, Representative Avakian, you're high through the remainder of these.
Correct.
Representative Krupp, you're medium through the remainder of these. Representative Smith?
I guess because the legislature asked you to do this, I mean, I assume you folks didn't decide this was a great idea on your own. I'm high.
Senators?
I'm high through the discussion that we had on the elderly rental assistance and finding a resolution to that.
Okay. And Senator Morissette?
Yes, I'm a high.
I'm a high. Then I think that, Representative Smith, if you and Senator Morissette are of a common mind through the remainder of them down to the elderly and rental assistance, I think we have completed our work.
I'm a high through those, again, because the legislature, unless there's something I don't know about, has directed the department to conduct these activities of collection.
Okay. Senator Morse.
Could we come back to the assessor's issue? I have a broad policy question. Why would state general fund monies, why should we be allocating general fund monies to incentivize counties to be doing what they should be doing anyway?
Madam Chair, Senator Morse, I will tell you what I understand, but I would encourage you to get the story straight from the counties too, because the $5 million pass-through was part of an accommodation that was developed by the legislature. There was a reason for it. This is what my understanding is, and I'm subject to correction because I know Gail knows, and maybe you just want to ask Gail to come up and explain it, but in 99, when the legislature looked again at the flow of interest on delinquent taxes and protected the schools from having to contribute the interest that would have gone to them from interest on delinquent taxes, and all other taxing units, a portion of the interest on delinquent taxes comes into this fund that we collect and then make the grants from. And my understanding from the current executive director of the Association of Oregon Counties is that the $5 million was a legislative recognition that to the extent the schools get better service from in the property tax administration, that benefits the general fund simply because of the backfill relationship between the general fund and the school system. And so the $5 million was in recognition of that.
We are so far ahead today and doing so well that I am going to risk incurring the wrath of the co-chairs and ask the counties to... I want you guys to fly a little low cover for me if I need it. And I'm going to ask the counties to come up and offer a comment in response. Ms. Orshenko, you and your staff can stay there.
Okay.
Gil won't be there very long.
Oh,
I'm
just pass the microphone.
Madam Chair, I'd be happy to fly off your wing and
thank you.
Cover your six.
Thank you. It may come to that. I know they're watching on TV, and I'm in dangerous territory here. State your name for the
Thank
record,
you, Madam
please.
Chair. Yes, Gil Riddell, Association of Oregon Counties. I appreciate this opportunity. We had requested originally, because of our intricate involvement in this budget and performance of it, that we be part of Phase 1, and I know that we weren't, so I will be very, very quick. Elizabeth is quite accurate. In fact, we intend at the beginning of Phase 2 to present you the chair at that time, one of the co-chairs of Ways and Means, Leslie Lewis, and Mike MacArthur, who was our president at that time in 1999, is now our executive director, who will explain to you how this $5 million came about and why it's why there's a continuing CPI growth to it. It is precisely that. We went through a revision of the funding formula and the assessment of taxation program, as described earlier, and during the course of that, we did not include the schools as a contributing factor to the program. Counties, when they collect property taxes, most of the taxes they collect are for schools. Schools are the principal beneficiary of property taxes. They asked us not to be part of a distinct formula, such as portion of delinquent property taxes that the other taxing districts are, but rather asked us to go to you and get general funds. And fortunately, at that time, the legislature was accommodating and provided $5 million into the assessment and taxation funding account to be distributed to counties. And it has continued since then, and it is in the governor's budget. We're very happy about that.
Representative Smith.
Thank you. This is an issue that's new to me, so I guess I still need a little more 101 on this issue. Why wouldn't the counties just keep their share and send less to the state?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, I'm glad you asked that. I was going to tell you during the break. Particularly for your counties, the counties that you represent, you'll find that the formula works so that they produce considerably less revenue than they receive. It's just the nature of the population base and the economic activity. The filing fee and the interest, delinquent property tax interest, there are donor counties and there are recipient counties. All counties, it goes into a pot.
So I asked the wrong question.
That's a good way of putting
it. Thank
you, Mr. Representative.
Thank you. Next question.
Well, I think clearly I'm going to ask that we stop this at this point because I am coloring outside the lines of the co-chair's directions here. But I am going to ask that we clearly flag this for a much more thoughtful discussion in phase two. And at that time, the counties will be invited to present additional information. Representative Krupp.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In going up to assessor's funding, clarify for me that $6.747 million is money that is other funded money, and it funds the 33 FTE, correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Krupp, that's correct.
So my simple mathematics shows that's $204,469 per FTE per biennium. Is that correct?
That's correct.
What level are these 33 employees? If you could provide that as additional information to a professional staff, I'd be curious to look at that.
We will do that, Madam Chair.
Thank you. One other thing I'm going to ask when we come back in phase two to discuss this $5 million is if you could research any of the legislative record that was developed at the time that this appropriation was made. One of the things that I'm curious about was whether there was any legislative history on the fact that this was to be a continuing appropriation, how the division between those counties that had sufficient resources to perform this work and the less populous counties that Representative Smith, for example, represents. Was there any requirement on the counties to bring themselves to a point of self-sufficiency following Senator Morris's question, or was this just $5 million that would get distributed out to the counties regardless of their ability, the more populous, wealthier counties, to do the work? Do they just get a continuing appropriation period? Was there any discussion in the record about a terminus for this? Any discussion in the record about the county's need to achieve self-sufficiency at a date certain? Any discussion about the balancing between those counties that might never have adequate resources to discharge the function and those counties that did? So I think some review of the legislative record would edify our discussion.
We'll be happy to get that for you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Did I leave anything out, colleagues? Is there any other information anybody wants to represent, or Senator Morissette?
Yeah, thank you. I'm interested in the Tobacco Tax Compliance Task Force. We don't have to talk about it now, but I just have a separate one.
Okay, and the professional staff has noted that as well. One other issue with respect to assessments, I understand that there is now a bill being developed by a multifamily housing advocacy group with respect to how the Department of Revenue has performed assessments on multifamily units. I clearly am making comments on something that I'm not adequately well versed in. Are you conversant in the bill?
Madam Chair, I don't know the details of the bill. I know some of the history of the development of the issue, and our staff is doing a survey with the counties in an attempt to get some data for you. and we're trying to work with the revenue committees on the policy issue of whether there's something more that needs to be done around valuation of these properties. And so we're working with Representative Butler on that. So if you would like to have the same information, or is there something different?
I have the same information. Representative Butler and I have had a tangential conversation about the issue and the question of, is there a need for the bill? Is this some kind of systemic process that can be rectified? I use the word rectified from the point of view of the multifamily providers. They feel that there is a failure in how the assessments are done. I'm just interested in seeing it brought to a conclusion, and to the degree that it affects our discussion on your budget here, any additional information that you could bring us would be helpful.
All right. We'll do that.
Senator Morsette.
I want to go back to the compliance task force, and what I would like to look at is whether or not the OLCC should be involved in that compliance, because they are in the stores a lot anyway, and whether or not they should be part of this. Now, I want to talk about the staff. I know it's a multi-agency, the state police and so on, but my concern is that the people who are supposed to do the investigating are not necessarily the ones who are in the places where cigarettes are sold. OLCC agents are in those places for the most part, and my feeling is that they perhaps might be part of that. So that's what I'm concerned about.
Thank you, and we will capture that for phase two. Just by way of summary, the three big issues that I just want to double check with you, Dallas, that we're going to talk about are the compliance issues, the elderly rental as additional information comes forward, and questions about assessment and assessor's funding in county pass-through.
Yes.
Senator, Representative Smith, I'm sorry.
I just keep getting that promotion. Explain to me, has there ever been discussion on why you folks don't do collections for student loans?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, we are available as a collector of any debts owed to the state, and the Scholarship Commission that does the loans, they have the ability to refer to us, and what I can't remember is if they do. Susan, can you?
I think they do. Madam Chair, Representative Smith, I believe we do work with the Scholarship. Oh, for the record, I'm Susan Browning, Deputy Director with the Department of Revenue. I believe we do work with Scholarship Commission.
Where do we see that on here?
That, Representative Smith, is the other agency accounts. That's actually on, it's about towards the bottom of page one, right underneath the
Could you bring us additional detail for that as we move into phase two? I think that's a very legitimate question. And I will take us back to the high-level agency presentation when Representative Smith came up with what I think many of us thought was a very innovative idea, and that was closer coordination between you and the Secretary of State's office, and that is a concept I think we're going to be pursuing actively. Dallas?
Going forward.
Yeah, we've been working with that.
And this committee will also be seeing the Secretary of State's office, and so we'll have two bites at the apple. But I think many people believe that that was a very innovative idea and one worthy of pursuing. So
you know what's funny about that? I had that as a freshman, but because I brought it up as a freshman, it was a freshman idea.
Well, see, now you're a seasoned, battle-scarred.
I had the same issue with a couple of other ideas that are now moving through the legislature.
Seniority has its prerogative.
And they've been taken over by others.
That's right. Senator Morse.
This is a policy question that arose out of our previous hearing with respect to, would it be helpful to you to create an advisory board of bankers and CPAs, professional people that could provide insights into the various functions in the Department of Revenue? And I wondered if that has been considered, and if there's any interest, and if the co-chairs would, assuming that this is worth pursuing, consider a policy bill to create an advisory board for the Department of Revenue.
I'm going to ask Dallas to add that to our flag list, and we'll review it with the co-chairs.
Thank you.
And see how that would work. This is a perfect segue into advertising one of Senator Morse's good ideas, and that's the for these advisory boards to actually weigh in the budget process with a certification that as the advisory board they had reviewed the financials, they had reviewed some of the larger policy questions, and that they would put then their signature to what is essentially a management letter coming forward at the beginning of each one of the budget presentations. And that's, I think, an idea very worthy of pursuing. If I've misstated it in any way, or do you have any additions to that? Okay. All right. Any other comments from committee members? Ms. Horshenko, any comments from the agency?
Madam Chair, we really appreciated the way in which this budget process has proceeded. I think for us to be able to step back and look during a tight budget time at program and priorities in program instead of how do we absorb some amount of loss across all of our programs where you're actually looking at what you think is the most important. I think that's really, really helpful, and I really appreciate the discussion. We'll follow up on the issues that have come up so that as we go into phase two, to the extent some more description of what we're doing is useful, we'll do that, and then we'll follow up on the individual questions. So I really appreciated the conversation.
Thank you very much. I will pass your comments on to the co-chairs. I think we are all feeling our way in a new process. We're now 2 days into it. From the chair's perspective, I can share with you we were a little trepidatious as this began. But actually, with 2 days and six agencies under this committee's belt, I think we're all feeling as though this has been a useful process. Senator Morse. Oh, Senator Morse.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't know how useful it is to you if we verify all of your choices, your priorities as number one priorities, or for the most part. And that's one of the problems that I have, I guess, with the agencies that we've reviewed so far. It's we haven't had any really good discussions about...
Senator Morissette, we wanted to get this process broken in with the easy ones. These have been the mush balls. It's going to get increasingly difficult as the week goes on. I would say buckle your safety belt. Tomorrow could be a bumpy day. Any other comments from the committee?
Is it Sigmet out for severe turbulence?
Absolutely. Then without objection, I am going to...